Christina Lake Cannabis is using proprietary outdoor genetics to grow and harvest cannabis in Western Canada. And with a 99-acre expansion, production should increase from nearly 72,000 pounds to a harvest capacity of over 194,000 pounds of high-quality, refined cannabis to extract exceptional THC and CBD oils. This cannabis highlight has been brought to you by Christina Lake Cannabis, U.S. trading symbol CLCFF and Canada CLC. ChristinaLakeCannabis.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.
I'm John Batchelor. Michael Yan at Patreon.com is in Panama City. For weeks now, he's been reporting on his discovery that the migrants reaching the Mexican-American border do come from the Northern Triangle, Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador, but they also come from the rest of the world, arriving in South America, Ecuador, or Brazil, taking a bus to Colombia, and then they must cross the Darien Gap. Darien Province, where Michael has spent many days, has a jungle, a triple canopy jungle. The Panama Highway does not go through it. It stops in Colombia and it starts again in Panama, near where Michael has been staying. Those 60 miles of jungle must be walked by the migrants who have no skills, to my knowledge, of triple canopy jungle. Neither do I. It's no shame, but they plunge into an environment where there are swollen rivers, flash floods, a lot of rain, animals and jungle animals and human animals, human marauders who attack them and rob them. Michael has been reporting on the people who emerge from the Darien Gap jungle and are cared for by the Panama authorities, chiefly the CENTAFRONT, the Panama Border Patrol. Michael, a very good evening to you in Panama City. Panama City is a capital, and I want to establish that the migrants you've met and talked to in the Darien province are not in Panama City. Why not, Michael? Where do the migrants go after they leave the Darien province?
After they get picked up in Darien province, mostly near a village called Bajo Chiquito, they go to a couple of reception centers, as they're called, down in Darien province. One's called Las Blancas, the other is called San Vicente. And from there, they're bussed up to the border of Costa Rica, where they're out-processed from Panama, and then they go into Costa Rica, and then they continue to move north to Nicaragua, and finally, eventually, up to the United States. And so this is they don't actually stop in Panama City. They just keep right on going. But, of course, that's after they survived the famous Darien Gap. And as you know, every bug in the world is out there. This is a very dangerous jungle, even as jungles go. In fact, that's why the British military moved their jungle training school from Belize over to Borneo, was because this is what they call a dirty jungle here in Central America. You get so many diseases from this jungle. A huge percentage of their soldiers that were going through the Belize jungle warfare school were no longer even allowed to stay in the British Army. They were getting so sick. So they moved over to Borneo. That's where I went through the British Army tracking school, combat tracking school, because it's a cleaner jungle. But the point is, this jungle, when people talk about dangerous jungles, it's this jungle in Panama they have in mind because of everything. I mean, the mud is severe here. When the French were building the Panama Canal, when they were using shovels, which would be daily, they would stick the shovels into the mud and they could not even get the mud off of the shovels. They had to use another tool. So, you know, just one scoop with the shovel and then you had to shovel it off the shovel. And one American survey team in 1870, and it's the same today, they went out there, about 100 men, and they started on the Caribbean coast. They had 600 extra pairs of shoes for about 100 men. They used all the shoes. They ran out of shoes. In fact, they were leaving men behind because they didn't have any shoes. And so when I see so many migrants come out of the Darien Gap into Bajo Chiquito, the village, the Imbara Indian village, you know, I've spent more than a month now down in the Darien province and the Darien Gap. Those migrants, a huge percentage are coming out with no shoes. Those shoes just get sucked right off your feet. I mean, this place is famous for mules and horses getting stuck in the mud irretrievably. You know, it's just that it's very difficult out there for suddenly you have no shoes. You might still have a week to walk. You got to deal with scorpions. You got to deal with centipedes and snakes. Everything's out there.
Michael, the migrants you met at Bajo Chiquito and are in the camps. Bajo Chiquito is the Ambara, the indigenous people's village where they first emerged from the jungle. And then they're transferred to two camps maintained by the Center Front. The migrants you've met, Michael, were they prepared for the Darien Gap? Do they speak about the jungle?
Oh, no. They, in fact, interestingly, when you read about expeditions from the 1870s, 80s, 90s, the words that you see in the books are the same that the migrants speak today because it's the same jungle. I mean, they say things like it's hell out there. They say, for instance, one American Navy expedition went out there and got lost. They were lost for 27 of them. They were lost for 49 days. The commander came out weighing 75 pounds, according to the doctor. Some of them went insane, according to the doctor. Seven died. This is the sort of stuff that they go through out there. They get lost. Many of the migrants are never seen again. You know, our own Navy got lost, you know, for 49 days. This is just, the ones who survive this generally don't come out with a smile. But I will say, even from the 1870s, 80s, 90s, there were reports of some of them that came through actually quite happy, and they were spirited even back then, even though many others in their group will have died. But this is normal also that you see in war. Some people, you know, some percentage always come through with a smile on their face, no matter what happens. And then there's, you know, then there's the other vast majority of people, many of whom just die out there.
So they
don't want people to go. The migrants who make it warn people not to do this.
Yes, but they're coming from all over the world to cross through this because their belief is that once they reach Panama, they can find their way north. And from your reporting, Michael, that's accurate. And the Panamanian authorities, the Center Front, bus them to Costa Rica. And then do the Costa Rica authorities then bus them north as well? Is it the same? Is it a handoff to Costa Rica?
That's what it is, John. It's a handoff. It's a rinse repeat. So they do the same. They make it through. Let's say if they start in Ecuador or Brazil, then they'll go to Colombia. It's that handoff. Then they go up to into the Darien Gap. I've seen them go into the Darien Gap from Colombia because I've flown down there and watched them and talked with them. And then they come up into Panama. They get taken into the reception centers, put on the buses. Costa Rica, they're received up there. They do the same in Nicaragua, Honduras. They do the same up in Guatemala, and then finally in Tapachula, Mexico. And then from Tapachula, they may stay for weeks or months. And finally, they're released, and they go forward. And then they start coming across San Diego or McAllen or some other place, and they come and they're in the United States.
Michael, there was a mystery, a small mystery, when we last talked about Cubans, very attractive young people, Cubans, including children, who had arrived not beaten up. And your information was they'd come by sea. Is that a regular route? Did you see other people coming by sea and avoiding the jungle?
Now, I do not know that the ones that I've seen coming out fresh came by sea, but I strongly suspect it at this point. And the next time I'm in Bajo Chiquito, which will be soon, I'll be asking that specifically. Because some of these people, it's just not adding up. I mean, they come through with very clean clothes, very fresh looking. They still got their jewelry. And we know huge numbers of people are just getting robbed blind, especially of jewelry and that sort of thing. And so we know that some are getting caught by sea and have been for years. And so some and many Cubans actually go by sea off to Colombia to start with. So they'll go by sea from many will go by sea from Cuba to Colombia, and then they end up by sea in Panama. And so I'm curious how many might be going directly by sea from Cuba to Panama, or if that happens at all. There's a lot of mysteries here that we're unteasing. And as you can imagine, this is a great big black hole of information. There's huge amounts of jungle out there, and it's really remote. So many things happen out there that just are not on the radar, and they're certainly not on Twitter.
Michael, did they come out with their shoes, or do they all need shoes when they reach Bayo Chiquito?
I need to look at my video, but I'll just say that maybe a third come out with no shoes. It's a significant number. And when they come out with no shoes, they're limping around. I suspect that the people who are coming out with shoes are the ones who are wise enough. First of all, they've worn better shoes to begin with, or they come from cultures that often don't wear shoes and they know when to take their shoes off. A key to going through mud, for instance, and rivers is knowing when to take your shoes off, because if you don't, you will lose your shoes in like that knee deep mud, or you end up in waist deep. Those shoes are gone. You'll never get them back. They get sucked off your feet. That happens. I mean, there's people that literally lose boots at times. I mean, so you have to know when to take the boots off and go barefoot.
Michael Yon, he is at patreon.com. You can see his videos and still photographs and his comments about being in Panama, where the migrants are flowing north to Costa Rica, and then on through the Northern Triangle, on to the Mexican border. I'm John Batchelor.
Christina Lake Cannabis is using proprietary outdoor genetics to grow and harvest cannabis in Western Canada. And with a 99-acre expansion, production should increase from nearly 72,000 pounds to a harvest capacity of over 194,000 pounds of high-quality, refined cannabis to extract exceptional THC and CBD oils. This cannabis highlight has been brought to you by Christina Lake Cannabis, U.S. trading symbol CLCFF and Canada CLC. ChristinaLakeCannabis.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.